Podcasting, your go-to show for weekly news and analysis from our experts. And this week, we have a guest expert, as you can see up there. Filthy Rich has the week off, has some family issues he's attending to. He will be back next week, hopefully. But filling in this week is Matt from Lindstrom, or as he wants to be known from now on, as Bach. Bach, how you doing this week?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. My thoughts and prayers are for my man, Richie. I just want to put that out there for this week.
All right. Well, I thought for sure you'd say something about LeBron. All right. And also here is our other expert of all time, the one, the only, court is in session for Judge Jimmy James. Judge, how are you?
Doing all right. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers to Rich. Hopefully everything's doing all right for sure. Can't wait to get him back, but looking forward to bantering back and forth with Bach.
The Bach. We'll see if we can get through this show without with a limited number of does. He did pretty good last time. I think he actually made it the whole show without a doe. But we tried to get him to get him out in pre-show, and he didn't want to swear pre-show. So we'll see how that goes during the show. Although I think you beat him last week. You had a doe early on there, James. So.
But starting anyway, off hot.
Starting off hot. All right, you guys ready for Bruising News?
Yeah.
All right. All right, Brews and News, where we talk about the brews or the news of the week. The brews of the week, we could do that too. But what first thing we do in Brews and News, of course, is, gentlemen, is crack a brew. So, gentlemen, cheers.
Cheers. A count.
You got the A count? Well done. He's the only one that has a real beer in front of him.
That's Caleb's.
Yeah. Caleb's. Mm-hmm. All right, first bit of news we're going to talk about this week, as you can see all our news segments there on the side, is Pacquiao's business manager, always the guy to go to for up-to-date boxing news, says he's going to fight Mikey Garcia this summer. Now, James, you said Mikey Garcia somehow is still in this division. I think you said that a week or two ago for Boots to go fight, I think, because you said I can't remember when Mikey Garcia fought last time, but apparently we're not fighting Errol Spence. We're not fighting Crawford. We're not fighting some UFC fighter or what's his name from Ireland. You know who I'm talking about
Conor McGregor.
McGregor. We're going to fight Mikey Garcia. That's the big name, Mikey Garcia. Now, personally, I think if you wanted a bigger payday, you fight Amir Khan. Fuck, you missed out. Come on, man. You got to stay with the show here.
Was I late on the dance? I sure was.
You were late on the dance. But what do you think about Pacquiao fighting Mikey Garcia? Does this have any interest for you at all, James?
Oh, I'm surprised. One, I'm curious to see what weight is it supposed to be at. I'm assuming it's going to be 147, since that's what Garcia's fought his last couple fights at. But it's just, it just seems like there could be a bigger draw for Pacquiao if it's about money and legacy. There's just bigger names that he could fight at 147, which I think is interesting. But right now, I don't think any of these guys at 147, nobody wants to fight anybody. And I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. Makes no sense. We'll probably touch base on this a little further on in the show. But, I mean, I'll watch it. I mean, Garcia's only lost once. That was Spence. He didn't look that good against Spence either, because obviously he's just moved up too many times in weight.
Did he go up like two or three weight classes for that fight?
Well, he started low, man. He's climbed up the ranks, and he's been dominant until he hit 147 and ran into Spence. I don't know. It's interesting, but it's not. Again, this is all hearsay. Seems like Pacquiao is going to fight every person at 147 every other week. But is it exciting? Nah. Would I watch it? Yeah, I'd watch it. It's Pacquiao. I'll watch Pacquiao fight whenever Pacquiao fights. Against Garcia, I guess they're a little more in size, the same, I guess. So it might be a little bit better fight, but definitely doesn't sparkle joy.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to see what weight they fight at, too. But you're right, at 147, no one wants to fight anybody. Nobody wants to have that first black eye of losing a fight to anyone else in that division, because they all talk smack to each other nonstop. Seems like the only ones that want to fight are the younger guys in that division. But Bach, you already heard that the judge is going to order that fight. Is that going to be one that you're going to drive down from Lindstrom to watch? That's like an hour and a half drive, or are you going to watch that one at your home muni?
Well, only if James would have me. But other than that,
you're a married man. How dare you ask him to have you?
I'll I think the fight's interesting in the fact that they're both small for that weight division. They both moved up to get to that weight division. I mean, Manny's moved up from what, 115 back in the day? Like, he's tiny. Mikey Garcia's kind of tiny for that weight, but they're both excellent fighters. And you want to know something? It's Manny Pacquiao. I will watch him until he's fighting out of the coffin because he's Manny Pacquiao. He's one of the greatest of all time. And Mikey Garcia is not a slouch. He always puts on an entertaining fight. I will watch those two slug it out. I think name-wise with Mikey, yeah, like James is right. It's not a huge draw, like where they couldn't make a lot of money. But you know what? As a boxing enthusiast, I think it turns into be a great fight.
Well, it brings up the question too that I'm thinking about here. You think he's passed on, well, sort of passed on Crawford, Spence, and McGregor. Could it be that he's just coming to the realization that those guys are just kind of too big for him, and he's kind of going down to Mikey, trying to fall back down in his age? Maybe he's going to be able to carry a 140 fight a little better, you know, against a smaller guy like a Mikey Garcia, or just at least someone small in that division that he'd be more comfortable with. Is that something you guys feel like maybe Manny's pick? That's why he's picking Manny or Mikey, because Mikey just seems out of the blue. Got to be a reason.
I'm gonna chime in real quick. Money. It's money. It's what will people fight for? Mikey needs to get back in the spotlight. Pacquiao just wants to keep fighting. I think it's just money. And he is Garcia is a cheaper option. Pacquiao ain't moving down 140. Garcia already said he ain't going back down to 140. I don't know where the hell Garcia is going to go, but I think this is all money driven. But it's like a spike box said, I think it's going to be a lot better fight than you think. It's just not like, doesn't have that like, oh baby, let's set that calendar.
Right. So it's more of a that Mikey will take a less of a percentage against Pacquiao than the other guys would be. So
yeah, it's a chance to springboard Mikey back into the spotlight, or another, you know, right, or another thing on his record for Pacquiao, because Garcia's 40-1. So
right. All right. You have anything else to add on that, Bach?
No, James has got that spot on. Like, that's two good names going against each other. No, it's good for both of them.
Right on. Well, if you guys start agreeing with each other, it's going to be a really tough opinion show. But, here we go. Next bit of news we're going to talk about. Chris Eubank Jr. says his next focus is Triple G. Now, Chris Eubank apparently had a chance to fight Triple G a couple years ago and claimed that Chris Eubank apparently lost his pen and didn't sign the deal. And Chris Eubank maybe pulling a Mayweather, waiting for Triple G to get old and then fight him, like he did with Pacquiao. But Chris Eubank is sure talking a lot of smack, like he wants to fight Triple G next. Should Triple G take this fight? And do you think Triple G wins this fight? Bach, we'll start with you.
You start with me? All right.
Yeah.
I don't care how old Triple G is. Eubank is not even close, or never will be close to the level Triple G was or will be, even when he's older. Triple G is an established middleweight with one of the best jabs probably ever. Eubank is a guy, he's flash. He only fights in England. He hasn't fought really anyone that I could be considered like even on the level. He's got talent, but you know what? 47, 50-year-old Golovkin still puts Eubank down with that stiff jab and body work. Eubank's flash, and I don't think he's got that great of a chin, and his defense is very suspect. That's my personal opinion of him. I've never really liked him. He's too flash, and he's all flash with guys in England. I'm not a huge fan of English fighters, except for a couple. And he's never really come over across the pond, as they call it, and fought men. So I think that Triple G takes that fight every day of the week. And let's just say it doesn't go to the judge's decision.
Well, let's go to our judge's decision. What do you think about the box rant there?
I mean, yeah, Eubank doesn't have much for his resume. If you're talking about a resume, if you're going resume to resume, Golovkin's got a better resume easily. I mean, Eubank's lost, Groves and Saunders. Controversial loss to Saunders, I guess. It's a split decision a long, long time ago. Other than that, but yeah, he is a UK fighter, and I'm going to agree with Bach because I have a hard time with these UK fighters that just fight in the UK. I mean, he did beat... Yildirim with a knockout in three, which is kind of funny. But otherwise, he's beaten James DeGale and Korobov. Those are his big fights after that. And Marcus Morrison doesn't do anything for me tomorrow, and tomorrow. And I don't really have too much to add. I mean, except he did beat Gary O'Sullivan, so I think he knocked the mustache right off him. But.
Didn't he own Mulligan's Steakhouse, I believe? Yeah.
30s style boxing, right?
So you agree with Bach again, too, that Triple G wins that fight, owns that fight?
I mean, yeah, Triple G looked real good in his last fight.
Mm-hmm.
He looked a lot better than I thought. Maybe he just needed, 2.5 years with Banks to make it to get up there to some point, because I still don't care for Jonathan Banks as a trainer, but... Triple G in his last fight did look really, he looked good physically and technically sound.
He looked bigger,
he looked in the best shape that I've seen him in a long time, and he still has that chin. Eubank ain't gonna knock him out, even though he's got 22 knockouts. I just don't see that happening, but I could definitely see the latter happening. So I do have to agree that I think Triple G would beat up on Eubank pretty bad.
Triple G can take Canelo's best shot and smile at him. There's nothing Chris Eubank can throw at him that's going to hurt him at all. My final question on this, though, I'm going to put it back to Bach here for a second. Does this fight do anything for Triple G? I mean, is there any incentive for Triple G to take this fight? Because he has a limited amount of fights left. Is this worth burning one of your limited few fights left? You probably got 3-4 fights left in front of you. Is Chris Eubank's worth? Is he going to get paid for it first? And is it worth for your resume just to beat up a guy that's talking smack to you?
Well, I've said it before, I don't even want Golovkin to fight that many more times. But if he went over to England, I think he could make a good purse from it, because Eubank has got a following over there. I've said before, I want Golovkin to go into a blaze of glory and Canelo. Have his finance. No, I don't want that. I want Golovkin to go off into the sunset with his family and be happy and still have his faculties. He could make a pretty penny over in England if he went over across the pond to fight Eubank. Eubank's got a following. I think he should, because I think he can take him. And I agree with James. Like, I'm not a fan of Jonathan Banks whatsoever, but he still looks decent. Like, he's still got. You can never get rid of your chin. He's always going to be able to take a shot, and he's always got that jab. Do I agree with him bouncing around so much and not going to the body as much? You know what? Maybe it's getting longevity in his career, but no, 2 fights left. Eubank be one of them. Go across the pond, take all of his damn money, and then show the UK fans that there are a bunch of garbage fighters over there. Boom, said it.
Well, I'm going to throw it back to the judge because he didn't really answer my question. Is this a fight that Triple G should take? Does it do anything for him for his last few fights?
Yeah, I do. Look, he's fought Steve Rolls, Derevchenko, and Sesama, all right? That's his last fights after Canelo Alvarez. He needs this is a bigger fight, man. Take Eubank, make some money, show the world that you still have something to do. I mean, I don't know if Eubank has any titles, but take them all anyway.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a fake one.
A WBA interim middleweight title. I don't even know what the hell that is. Take that and then just add it to your repertoire to whatever.
I think Chris Eubanks has a fantasy football belt too. You could probably take too. But last thing on that one before we move on to the next thing there, Bach. I'm a little disappointed that you say you don't like British fighters, because I know one of your favorite British fighters is Amir Khan. That's 2. I gave you a second chance to get the dance in.
No, I said there's some that I like, and you know I love my boy Dillian.
too many.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. Last bit of news for this week. Wouldn't be a week unless we talk about Eddie Hearn. But something I agree with Eddie Hearn on, he says boxing can't afford any more of these crap fights, except he didn't use the word crap, but we're on YouTube, so I didn't want to get doed. I kind of agree with that, especially looking at the division, the 147 division, that none of them want to fight each other, and some of the crap exhibitions with YouTube stars that don't fight anybody, but everyone suddenly thinks they're great boxers. James, I'm going to start with you. Do you agree with Eddie Hearn here? And what can we do to stop these crap fights? Or is it going to kill boxing, like he says?
Oh, I don't have an answer for how to stop anything, all right? But I do agree with Eddie Hearn in this statement. The big reason that we are having all these thriller cards and all this other crap that's just not part of the sport that is trying to become part of the sport is because we're not making big fights. We don't have, like, Fury Joshua isn't listed yet. Spence and Crawford have not fought yet. Like these big draws, people that have big draw, like Canelo and I don't know any, I guess Canelo fights everybody, so that's kind of a bad one. But either way, it's like these big name fights just don't happen. Like the 1-2 should be fighting each other. Quit dipping and dodging. Like, you know, this isn't Dodgeball, the movie. So, you know, this isn't Patches O'Houlihan.
Hip, dive, like, duck, dive, you guys, and dodge.
You just have to fight. And you just fight and you win. And that's how it was back in the day, man. This is why these too many belts. These belts are ruining it. I think all this other crap is ruining it as well. People just don't fight. You have how many people at 135 that won't fight each other? I mean, besides Lopez, who fought Lomachenko, like that was, I couldn't even believe that fight got made. Right. And then now it's just, yeah. And then Garcia now all of a sudden has mental health issues where he's, you know, if he does have mental health issues, I really hope that he's okay. But either way, it's still like out of nowhere, just I'm not going to fight anymore. And then Devin Haney isn't fighting and Lopez fights Kambosos and Lomachenko just like all this stuff just never, the rematch should have happened. Like, I don't know, man. I agree with Eddie Hearn. Don't know how to stop it. And I mean, even all these people at 160, man, like Boo Boo, go fight somebody like Charlo, go fight somebody with it. That's relevant, man. Fight Triple G, fight something, like do something, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's frustrating. I don't know how to stop it. And I agree. I think it's ruining it. I really hope that it doesn't, because that'll make me sad.
Well, it's another hill and valley that we're getting to. I mean, the first big valley that happened was bad judging and money got in the way of it, and it kind of killed boxing, and MMA kind of took over for a while. Boxing started to make a comeback, but now they're starting to blow it again. Like you say, one should be fighting two, but one's not even fighting three, four, or five. They're fighting guys outside the top 10 a lot of the time. Like, hey, let's watch Crawford fight some guy that we never heard of, or hey, who can Amir Khan fight this week? Come on, Bach, you missed it the third time. But it's like they don't even fight the top five anymore. And when it happens, when someone fights somebody in the top five, it's like, whoa, that's a big fight. A big fight should be 1-2 or 1-3, not 1-5, 1-6 or 2-5, 2-7. That's not a big fight to me. What do you think, Bach, about Eddie Hearn's statement that boxing can't afford this anymore?
You can't. James is right. Actually, Eddie Hearn, he's a promoter and he still wants to make fights. You know, and I was going to say promoters are the problem. Eddie Hearn's like the one promoter who actually wants to make all the fights because he wants to compete with everyone. Can you imagine if boxing had champion against champion, no matter what promoter, what card, whatever they're from, they're fighting each other. How big boxing could be. It'd be back in the heyday, like the 70s and 80s. It could be great again. And boxing is like one of the greatest sports in the world. It should be back to that. Let everyone fight everyone. We don't need this baloney, honestly. Quit protecting the pocketbook. Let these guys fight each other. Because you want to know something? These guys have pride. They want to fight each other. Mm. They're just, it's in the way.
I don't know about that. I think once you get to a certain level, it's all about the money. It's how much money can I make as long as I'm here. You're not there very long.
No. Protect your pocketbook. Do not say that, because these men have pride. I'm not saying they don't have pride. They want to fight the best. They want to be known as the best.
I agree with that. I'm saying, but a lot of it, they protect their image a little bit too long. Sometimes, Jim just took over the host duty over there. I don't know why he jumped down there. What the heck happened there? Maybe he was frozen and he jumped down. He just tried to take over the host duty. that was a wild card.
Keep going.
That was amazing.
I digress. So I do agree with Eddie Hearn. Yeah, it is kind of killing it out, honestly. It's like, I mean, boxing didn't used to be like that. And everyone should fight everyone. I don't give a shit about the money. Oh, is that a dough?
Oh, that's the first one. Hey, well, we don't have the dough counter.
Everybody gets one, all right?
Everyone gets one.
You get one.
You got one. That's all right. Well, I think you guys touched on exactly what we kind of need is one main governing body instead of like 18 governing bodies. One governing body. When boxing was in its heyday, we had the heavyweight. I see your hand raised. I'm going to break it. I'll come back to you in a sec. But when boxing was in its heyday, they had the one heavyweight champion in the world, and he was the biggest celebrity in the world. Muhammad Ali, whoever's the heavyweight champion of the world, was the biggest celebrity in the world at the time. We need to go back to that. We need to have one governing body where they're just saying, all right, you're going to fight this person, you're going to fight this person, you're going to fight this person. Major League Baseball is one governing body. Football is one governing body. Hockey has one governing body. Let's have one governing body of boxing and get these fights done. Bach, your hand was raised. Go ahead.
All right, go. Love him or hate him, Mr. Teddy Atlas has been talking about one governing body for a long time, and he brought it up too many times. He got kicked off ESPN.
Well, we're not on ESPN, but we have been on ESPN.
Well, he got kicked off of televised boxing, anything. And he's one of the smartest guys out there. And he's been calling for one governing body for a long time.
And he's right.
And he can join our show.
Yes. And especially with judging. Yes. Teddy Atlas, please come on.
I will send a message to Teddy Atlas. I don't think he's got Instagram, but I'll try to find a way to send a message to him and say, hey, we respect you. We want your opinion on this show.
Box already hugged him in real life. All right. So
I have. I chased him down.
Oh, yeah, so real creepy, like, too.
Does you know what? Does his restraining order apply to on the internet?
No.
Okay. We're good then.
Can I tell this story? Honestly, Teddy, he was cool with it. The bouncer looked at me and he goes, he tried to get rid of me. Teddy pushed the bouncer and he goes, he good. and then he grabbed me into a hug and an embrace and we took a photo.
You were no threat, Teddy Atlas. I'll tell you that.
he understood I love boxing. I just want to hang out with Teddy.
All right. We're running a little behind here, so let's move on to our next. What? Oh, my God. Oh, my bell disappeared. Where's my bell? Hold on. My bell disappeared.
Ding, ding, ding.
And my bell disappeared.
Fries are done.
There it is. I found it. Okay. Now we got to move on to brews and previews. All right. Sorry about that. I lost the boxing bell. All right, brews and previews, where we talk about upcoming fights this weekend. We got two main events this weekend and a decent undercard fight. Well, not a decent, but a big name undercard fight. We're going to start first with the big boys, the heavyweights, Chisora versus Parker. Bach, you and me were talking a little bit about this one the other night on a drunken late night phone call. I think Chisora is a bad man and is a very one you do not want to underestimate. I mean, obviously Parker is a good fighter, but Chisora, I just feel like he's underrated. I think he has a good shot of winning this fight. What do you think?
Honestly, both those guys have fought a lot of big names.
Yep.
Chisora is also 40 years old. Yep. Where Parker, and honestly, I thought Parker was older than he is. He's only 29.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Parker's been in the heat of the battle with a lot of men, and he's done all right. He went the distance with a lot of guys too. And it's like, I think Joseph Parker has the chance to actually still do something with his career where Chisora's on the tail end.
So you're kind of going the other way. You think Parker's going to take this fight then? Or?
I think Parker will take it. I think it will be a close fight. Because Chisora is a nasty man, and he's tougher than nails.
Yeah, he is.
But he's 40 years old. He's 40 years old, though. It's going to be a distance fight. Parker has shown that he can go the distance and outpoint a guy. He's 6'4", 6'5", 200, and I don't know. He moves pretty good on his feet. Can't tell. I can't remember. James would have to look it up if he's southpaw or orthodox, but he's always proven himself. He is an orthodox fighter. Okay. He's a good fighter. Like, he's got skills. And you don't really see that many good fighters coming out of New Zealand. Like, honestly, you really don't. Like, there's one guy in the UFC, Mark Hunt or whatever it was, and Joseph Parker. That's it. The guy's got, and he's so young still. It's like, he's been in with everyone, and he's only 29 years old, which means he has experience at a young age. He's still growing into his body. I take Joseph Parker probably winning on decision or late round TKO.
Hi, Box Fiance behind us.
Keep going, Raider. Don't comment right. on
so
it.
So anyway, Chisora coming off an actually impressive fight against Usyk. I thought, you know, he lost that by unanimous decision, but he went the distance against Usyk. And, you know, I thought he proved a lot in that fight that he still has it at 40 years old. And I think he's going to give Joseph Parker a run for his money. I think Joseph Parker's still going to win, but I think Chisora should not be overlooked. Judge, what do you think about that?
Well, look, I don't know about you guys, but I watched Joseph Parker's last fight against Junior Fa. All right. I've seen, I was actually very high up on Joseph Parker in my heavyweight rankings. I'm pretty sure I had him number 3 overall.
You did?
Up there. After watching his fight against Junior Fa, I'm probably knocking him down a peg or two. And I know that he won. And they said it was a unanimous decision, but I didn't see that. I didn't see it when he fought Fa. I don't think Parker's going in the right direction. I think he's not there mentally with boxing as his main goal. So I'm going to go, I'm going to be against the grain on this one, which usually I'm not, but I think Chisora beats Parker. I think Chisora has the power and the grit to do enough to Parker where it's going to mess him up, because Junior Fa hit Parker with some shots that never should have happened. And I think Chisora is going to be able to take a much better advantage on that than Junior Fa did. So I think Chisora is going to beat Parker, and then this is going to be Parker's downfall. So I don't think he goes any further than what he's already accomplished.
Wow, that's impressive. I actually was kind of going, I wanted Chisora, as I talked to Bach the other night, but I thought you would ridicule me like I did the Areola fight. And by the way, Chisora is only 37. He's not 40. He's 37.
37, 40, 45, 100, same thing.
Well, he's not Pacquiao. He's well, heavyweight. I mean, 37 is a big deal.
First of all, Pacquiao's been 28 years old for like 80 years, all right? I don't know how it happens. Some people just have that gift.
Pretty sure he's the Highlander. Of
yeah, that's what Highlander. He fights somebody in the Philippines and takes their soul, their life force. And then that's why he's a singer and a philanthropist. And he's, you know, on the government and he boxes.
So he's jumped. Song if we were combat reference, but
you remember when he's saying sometimes when we touch,
don't.
I do. Oh, that's a dope.
All right, final picks here. Chisora Parker, you said Chisora there, James. By what and what?
I think Chisora by a late round knockout.
All right, what you got? A round?
11.
Okay, Bach, what do you got?
And you know what? I love James' analogy of it because it could go that way too. But I'm still going to stick with mine. I'm going to go TKO round 11, Parker.
I'm going to go that this fight's going to go the distance. And I think Parker's going to win by split decision. But I think Chisora will be the one that when we talk about it, we're going to say he won that fight, but Parker's going to get it by split decision. That's what I'm going to go with. So that's how I look at it, because I'll probably bet Chisora, and that's what will happen to me. Like, he won the fight, but I lost. that's the way I look at it. All right, next one is the undercard on that fight. Dmitry Bivol is fighting. He's fighting Richards, which, what'd you say his nickname was? The Sauce?
No. Spider.
The Spider, I know. It started with an S. I knew it started with an S, though. Sammy Slippy Samsonite. That's what. Bivol is fighting Richards. It's nice to see Bivol fighting again anyway. He needs to start fighting some more bigger fights here soon, and maybe better Biev in the future, maybe Canelo in the future. But Bivol's going to fight Richards the Spider coming up. James, what do we look for in this fight?
Cool. Well, you want to see how Bivol handles 19 months layoff. Yeah. That's what you want to see. Fighting in England, fighting a guy who's never fought outside of England. So here's another one of them. So I'm pretty sure that Bivol is going to handle him pretty easily, since he's a gold medalist and multiple things. So, but I'm really curious to see how Bivol comes off this layoff. He is obviously, he went on a tear, a knockout streak where he was knocking out everybody. And then he ran into like Chalamba and John Pascal and Joe Smith Jr. and started going the distance with all those guys. And all of a sudden his power like disappeared. He still has really, really good technical ability, right? But his power, the sneaky power that he had, was kind of what made him so exciting before, and now it's meh. He's a technical fighter. He's probably going to beat you on points. That's what you're getting right now. I kind of want to see him go back to old Bivol, where he's actually getting these knockout. He was a body knockout guy, so that was the funner part with Bivol, is that he would hit you in the body with his skills and drop some people. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know anything about Richards, so unfortunately, I think that Bivol is just going to work him like kneading bread for 12 rounds, probably go to decision, unfortunately, but he's definitely going to get any gluten out of that and send that guy, you know, I don't know, what is he, like 16-1? Yep. Give him another loss.
Was it Sulecki or no?
No, this is Craig Richards.
Craig Richards, the Spider. Yeah. Way to do that prep work there, Bach. Who's in there all week?
I'm way off.
All right. Well, Bach, what do you think about, I assume you don't know about Richards. What do you think about Bivol fighting?
I was going to agree with James. The only big test about the whole thing, because honestly, if Bivol's in it and there's not a big name against him, it's just how he looks after a layoff.
Oh, that's two. Jeez.
Three.
Is it three?
Yeah, James is right. There was three. I snuck one in there. But
I missed the last one then.
I even apologize for it. But no, James is right. The only thing about Bivol right now is his layoff time. It's Bivol. He's amazing. He's a really good boxer. I like the tactician part of him. I like that. Like, let him get refined. He's still young.
I agree.
Let him become a tactician.
All right. So what are you guys' predictions for this fight? Bivol versus the Spider? James, you're first.
I still think it's going to go to decision, unfortunately. But
unanimous decision.
Unanimous. I'm talking like 119, 110.
Okay.
Bach? I don't even know if those numbers match up, but don't ask Bach.
Don't ask him about numbers.
I'm gonna say it's going to be called round six. Pain
for the Spider.
No, Bivol's knocking him out in six.
Round six.
Bivol knocks him out in round eight after shaking off some ring rust with a body knockout, and he squashes the Spider in round eight with a body shot. That's what I'm getting. That's my prediction. Round eight. All right. So we all agree. No, we don't all agree on that. On the first fight, but on the second fight, we do. Let's move to the third fight. And this one, we talked a little bit about last week, and I got ridiculed because I defended Areola. It's Ruiz Jr. versus Areola. I still say Areola is a bad MF, and he can hit hard. He's old. Yeah, he's like old like Chisora is, but, you know, he's still got fights left. He still hits hard, and Ruiz is still a question mark. I don't care what anybody says. He hasn't fought since losing to Joshua, and then he went off like Dave Chappelle off. Nobody knew where he was, and then he came back super fat, and then he's super skinny now. Nobody knows. I say I didn't say he's going to win. Areola is going to win, but I'm saying don't look past him. And at 10-1, there's good value there. That's what I'm saying. Bach, you were agreeing with me when you were drunk. And then after I talked to you in pre-show, you're like, no, you're crazy. I never said that. So let's go to you about Ruiz versus Areola.
All right. Well, as a bet, yes. Yeah. At 10-1, yeah, you take that bet. But you can look back multiple shows when I go Andrew Ruiz with Mr. Eddie Reynoso. Is what I said. He's going to be ripping that left hook. He's going to, okay, we all know that Rui's got the fastest hands as a
heavyweight. Fast hands. I knew you'd really bring it up there.
he's fast. He's got the fastest hands in combinations I've ever seen at heavyweight. Now he dropped weight. He looks actually really, really good. The only thing I think about is, like, I saw his weight even when he lost it. Andrew Ruiz still weighs 245 pounds. So it kind of took it off my head. Like, he can't take a heavyweight shot to the chin anymore. He's still a big boy, but his hands are moving fast. And he's implemented a left hook to the body, probably a left hook back up to the head with his fast hands. And he's setting it up proper. Chris Areola, he's a warrior. The man went the distance with Deontay Wilder. All right, everyone forgets that part. He went the distance with Deontay and got hit by every punch. He's a warrior. He's one of one of the toughest hits harder fighters than Deontay ever Wilder. Come across. Honest to God, during that time, no one was. He took his right hand many times, and he stood there. Yeah, his face looked bad, but you know what? He refused to give up.
That's what it is. It's the Rocky Balboa heart.
He's got great heart. I don't see him catching Andy with anything substantial at this point in his career. Andrew is probably going to be moving way too fast on his feet now that he dropped a couple LBs. I think that Andrew Ruiz wins this very convincingly. I'm not going to say a knockout because...
Well,
I'm
save your prediction for later. Hold on. Save your prediction for the end.
All right.
Judge, go ahead and rip on me another week about me talking about Areola. So go ahead.
Well, I will rip on you, but I'm going to have to correct Bach first because Wilder had a round stoppage in 8. Areola didn't go 12 rounds with him.
Oh.
But he never went down.
Round stoppage still is a stoppage.
Ref stop. Yeah. He never did. He never but went knocked down.
But you know what? He was looking him in the eye at the end of that fight.
I look you in the eye all the time when we fight, Seabach, and that doesn't change anything, all right?
And I don't think he was looking him in the eye. His eyes were swelled shut pretty good, so I don't know if he was.
He was that general there going, "What?" No, he was going, why'd you stop it? I ain't done.
Look.
I'm waiting. Go ahead.
Okay. I was frozen.
Oh.
You guys got to talk. It looked like I was frozen. Well, I was frozen.
Oh,
it doesn't look like matter. It. We're not frozen now. Chris, you're wrong.
Chris.
The nightmare Chris is not a nightmare. He's a lullaby, all right? He is nothing. Ruiz is going to come in and whoop him, man. And this is Areola. Have you seen Areola? He looked fatter than Ruiz when Ruiz was fat. That ain't right, man. They're the same height.
Oh, my God.
What, Seabach? What do you want to say?
What do you want to say?
James, that was the coolest line I've ever heard. He's a lullaby. That might have been the coolest thing I've ever heard.
My God.
Well, then I'll tell you this, James.
No, that was awesome.
No, I'll tell you this. Ruiz ain't going to put him in no lullaby, and I'll bet a Tecate on it that it goes at least the distance or Areola wins. If Areola wins James or it goes the distance, I win. If it's a knockout by Ruiz, you win. Tecate bet for next week. You win?
I kind of have an unstable internet connection, so what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I said I will do a Tecate bet with you. Here's the Tecate bet. If Ruiz knocks out Areola, I have to drink Tecate. If it goes the distance or Areola wins, you have to drink Tecate.
Now, this is any stoppage.
Yeah.
RTD, TKO, KO.
Got to go the distance for me to win. Or Areola knocks him out.
Yeah, fine. I'll take it.
All right. It's a Tecate bet. Yes, Seabach, we saw your hand up 5 times. What?
Okay. Can James get like extra odds because he said he's not the nightmare? He's going to be a lullaby. Okay.
That's why I was saying it. That's why, because I say he's not going to knock him out. That was the point of the bet.
I'm going to go to bed after this and think about that. Like, James is dominated.
He's going to dream
James,
about
you. James, you take that bet.
All right. That's enough for the previews. We didn't do the predictions on this. I'm going to say that Ruiz wins by decision and James drinks Tecate. Judge, what's your prediction for the fight?
Ruiz in 10.
Ruiz in TKO. 10. Seabach?
I'll say ref stoppage 11.
For Areola?
For Ruiz, obviously.
All right, let's move on to Raider Week. All right, Raider Week, we get 3 times a year because the 5th week, if we have 5 weeks in a month where we do our show, I get to decide what we're going to do. And since I had something planned for when Filthy Rich was here, but sadly he's not here this week. So I threw something together here. I'm just going to do, we played over under a few weeks ago and we had it as the game show, but now I'm just going to do it like a guessing over under of predictions of whether this is going to happen. So I'm going to say something and you guys are going to say whether it's going to be over or under, and we'll discuss on each of them. That's how we're going to do Raider Week this week for the Raider Week segment. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Mitch Trubisky.
All right. Here is the first one. The first one is Fury Joshua. Over under, will they fight September 1st, 2021? Under means they'll fight before then. Over means they'll fight after then or never at all. James, we'll start with you. Over or under? September 1st, 2021.
Mm. Ah. I am going to have to say over because it's not already done yet. It's $150 purse bid just for the location in Saudi Arabia.
$150 I'll pay that.
No, $150 million.
Oh, they both
need
that.
That's part of the bid. $75 per fighter is what they need to do. I don't think it's happening before September 1st. I'm going over.
Oh, going over. Bach, over or under September 1st, 2021?
I'm going to agree with James. I'm going to go on over, and I don't think the fight even happens.
You think it'll never happen?
Nope.
I disagree.
Wow, that fight's too expensive not to happen.
Can I say when Bob Arum dies? Yeah, it'll happen.
Well, him and Pacquiao have cold the same doctor. Buddy. They're never good. They're never gonna die. Those two have the same doctor. They're never gonna die.
Hey, fly me to Vegas.
Wow, nonverbal binding. Nonverbal binding.
Wow, we just got knocked off the air for that one.
I didn't say a name.
Jeez. All right, moving on to the second one quickly. Crawford Spence over under March 2022. Bach, we'll start with you. Will they fight before March 2022 or over or past March 2022 over or not at all?
Over
March 2022. You know, no comments backing that up or just saying over?
They're never going to fight.
Oh, he's saying it's never going to happen. All right, Judge. Crawford's your boy. I know you talk to him on a weekly basis. You guys are text buddies. Crawford Spence over under March 2022.
I'm gonna pray to the gods on this one. I'm gonna go under.
Under.
James.
I hope so. I hope it happens because we're gonna be watching.
I'll say in 10 months they'll have at least one or two fights underneath them, and then something will happen. Yeah, I'll say under. Let's go.
10 months puts us right around February. So yeah, that would work. So it'd be February around Valentine's Day of next year for Judge's love interest. You know, with.
I hope I'm wrong because I would love that.
Well, who wouldn't love that? Who wouldn't love that? Uh oh, wait a minute. You guys ready? I got some breaking news.
What is breaking news?
We do our show from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the Vikings have traded out of the 14th pick to the New York Jets. So we have traded down to the New York Jets. No details on the trade yet, but we have not picked a player. It looks like we are going to maybe get the 23rd pick now, but we have traded down after the Chargers took the offensive tackle that we wanted. Oh, and Judge has signed off on that one. Well, his camera is turned off. He is not happy. Judge, can you hear us?
I can hear you. I don't know what's happening, but I am that upset. Are you kidding me? You get away the 14th pick in a draft? Come on,
you
man.
Traded
pick
down.
Someone, Spielman. Jesus.
All right. Well, you know, we can't even get
to
back.
Is face.
Your camera working? What's going on there? All right. We'll put a picture up there.
I don't know. I can hear you. I can hear you. Just keep talking. Let's go.
All right. Over under, James, you're going to start. Triple G Canelo over under Cinco de Mayo 2022.
Ooh.
I should say the day after Cinco de Mayo. Will they fight on Cinco de Mayo or before 2022? Triple G Canelo.
I'm going to say over.
You think it won't happen or you think it's just going to be past that?
I think it'll be past that.
I think they will have one. So Mexican Independence Day next year, probably.
I think it's over 2022. That's it. I think it'll just be something different.
Right on. Bach, going to you. Triple G.
I'm gonna say over.
Okay.
And I don't think it's never gonna happen. Because
okay.
Canelo is never coming back to 160.
Well, the talk would be that maybe fight at 168, is what I hear.
No, because Triple G would have
catch weight.
Could be a catchweight.
No, this is boxing. Stop with the catchweight.
Canelo is the catchweight king. That's what he does.
That's true.
That's all
not
he
anymore.
Does. With the catchweight. No, he always
not
does
anymore.
The catchweight.
Why is he running 168 then?
Because he's a catchweight king. All right, last one here. My guy Boots getting a title shot over under January 2022. Seabach, will Boots get a title shot before January of next year?
I'm going to say under because I think he should.
Well, he should, obviously, yes, but that's not the question.
I hope it's under because, honestly, I watched his last fight. He looked pretty damn good. Like, I was quite impressed with his skill set. I think he, yeah, I'm going to say under.
He's my guy, Boots. I've been talking about him for years. These guys try to give me credit for it sometimes, but they other times tell me, oh, you're just going to take credit for Boots? Yeah, well, Judge, what do you think? Over under Boots getting a title shot January 2022.
Knowing who I know has the titles, I'm going to say over.
Over. Yep, because Crawford has the title.
Crawford, Spence, and Pacquiao are the guys that hold the... They are the ones that are the key masters, and I do not believe that Boots will fight any of those three until after your date.
He could fight Mikey Garcia if Mikey Garcia wins. Think of that.
Yeah, and he's not going to beat Pacquiao. Thurman ain't going to have... Porter ain't going to... Ugas, nothing. Nobody. No. Over.
That's why I said hope.
I think Boots beats all three of those guys, just saying. All right. C-Bot, why don't you bring us on home?
Bring us on home? All right. Yeah, I got the last little bit. I know it's not going to be boxing related, but you know what? My Minnesota Twins, they've been really bad this year, except for one person, Mr. Byron Buxton. The other night, just went 5-for-5. Almost had the hit cycling. Probably one of the greatest guys out there right now. He finally reached his potential. Fastest man on the planet. I really don't know what else to say. He was one triple shy of the cycle. I'm sorry. It's just fun to watch the man.
He is fun, but I will also say that Nelson Cruz is pretty awesome too. He's also doing awesome.
He didn't go 5-for-5.
Well, that's not his thing. That's not what he does. All right, Judge, if they're watching us, where can they listen to us? And if they're trying to watch you, where can they listen to you? And if they're listening to you, where can they watch us? Well, for at least half of the show, can they watch you half the show?
Well, if you're listening to us, you can watch us on YouTube/BruisinBoxing, although I'm frozen right now on my screen and I don't know what's going on, but I can't cancel it because we're
recording. I can't wait to edit this.
And if you're watching us, well, watching those two and my still screen where it looks like I'm looking at the floor you can listen to us on any major podcast site. That's Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, bunch of that stuff. Just wherever you got your podcast, we'll be on it. Just look up Bruising Boxing.
Right on. Before I do my final thoughts here, I want to give everybody, I know Rich, you can't see James, but he'll do it anyway. We give you a toast. We love you, brother. We hope you get back here soon. We love you. Oh, James signed out on that one. I think his internet's been crap, but I guarantee he's drinking to you as well. We love you, Filthy Rich.
Oh, yes.
You'll be back soon.
Love you, James.
Drink to you.
We love you, Richie.
All right, for Filthy Rich, Judge Jimmy James, and the newest member, Bach, I am Raider Live. Thank you for joining us. We will see you guys next week. Please subscribe and please tell all your friends because we're having some good times. We're going to be a four-man show here going from now here on out. Bach, you're willing to join us, it sounds like, from here on out. So we are a four-man show. Oh, there. Hey, look at him. He's back. and he's back. He must have just pooped
his
pants.
Did he make it?
He did. All right. Well, we'll do the toast.
Cheers!
We're doing a toast to Richie one time while you, and then you disappeared. So I was like, he wasn't signing up for that. But cheers, Richie.
Cheers to Richie. Cheers to Richie.
Cheers. And for Judge Jimmy James, Filthy Rich, and the Bach, I am Raider Live. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.